Saunders 107.8 Tone FM presents the World Tour of Taunton.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Craig and Jason out and about for the World Tour of Taunton, of course, supported by the award-winning Taunton Visitor Centre. Calling to the Market House for more ideas on what to do in and around our beautiful, slightly cloudy county town today.
Yeah, we're just outside Bishop's Lydiard for the 67th British National Ploughing Championships. And with me is Sue and John. Good morning.
Morning.
So how is it going so far?
Splendid. It's very good. We've been blessed by the weather. We've had such a bad wet autumn and we've been blessed with a week where we've had very little rain, haven't we?
So it's an amazing location here. How long have you been here kind of in Taunton?
Well, it came last Sunday, so...
Okay, so it's... Oh, okay, so where were you last year?
Where were we?
We were up in York last year.
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
yes.
Kent the year before, so we move around the country each year.
Amazing. And how many people are you expecting today?
Oh, what a question. We have no idea. It depends on the weather, but there's a pretty good crowd here already, so...
Amazing.
A
and
big one.
And how many traders do you have?
There's about 100 or so traders, ranges from tractors to sweets, or, you know, there's everything in between.
So tell us a little bit more about the ploughing and the competition that runs. What makes it so interesting and so popular?
Well, this is the national event, so something that's national has got to be something a bit special. So it's a culmination of all the smaller ploughing matches throughout the country coming together. Some have to qualify, and at the end of the day, the qualifiers go through and represent England in the world contest and European contests and vintage contests. So it's the final of the year, basically.
Oh, that's pretty impressive, right?
It is indeed. Now, when we talk about ploughing, are we talking about heavy machine ploughing or hand ploughing? What kind of competitions have you got on today?
Well, we've got horses, which is a big attraction for the public. And I think we've 18 pairs of horses all together, which is fantastic. Up to world-style ploughing and all the vintage-style ploughing, different classes. In total, how many classes are we about?
14,
yeah.
wow.
That's amazing. So how does the judging work? Tell me what a judge is looking for when he's judging the ploughing competition.
Well, there are a lot of aspects, but top of the agenda will be straightness, uniformity of furrows, burying of all the stubble. Those are the main aspects, but there's a lot more to it than that. They all have a sheet and they have to go through the aspects through the day.
So how's Somerset for ploughing? Is it good, the soil? How's the soil here in Bishop Lydiard? Is it perfect?
Absolutely beautiful.
I'm glad you said that.
It's real red, as you look behind you, the real red loamy soil. It disappoints me that I haven't got this at home.
Well, you'll have to come down here next year for the 68th competition. I'm sure we'll welcome them, Craig, won't we, in Somerset?
Yeah, of course. We welcome anybody to come down here, host an event, because Somerset is such a prime location, just off the M5 as well. Yeah. People can whiz down the motorway.
Well, we're certainly indebted to the Cole family. We were here 7 years ago, weren't we? And to be invited back again, it's quite an honour for us, because it's a big, big uptake for the farm to be able to deal with all these people here. I'm sure next week these fields will certainly look different. They're wanting them all drilled up and finished off for the winter.
But, yeah. Brilliant. Now, I don't really know very much about ploughing at all. So why is it important to plough? Why do the farmers actually do it?
Well, the plough's been on farms that... for years and years, it's nothing new, and it's from past years. It's something that you've always got your ploughmen on farm, and they all used to compete, and then it's like any competition. It's one competing against the other, and then it's just gone worldwide, and so it's just a network of people that are all friendly, and the nationalists to get our qualifiers to go abroad, basically.
There's nothing like a bit of competition, is there? And I'm sure the farming community enjoy that. And some of the machinery, you've got stands here doing lots of things, and more important, big tractors. We like looking at big tractors, Craig.
Yeah, and the price tags associated with them. I mean, they are some hefty prices. But then they're strong, they're powerful machines. Yeah, probably a little bit too big for my back garden.
You certainly wouldn't want to appear in Tesco's with one of these tractors. They would take up a few parking spaces. So what's the kind of key message for somebody to come down today? What are they going to get from today's event?
Well, they don't have to have an interest in ploughing to be able to come. You can come, you can see the horses, say lots of horses. It's lovely just to watch them. They plough in a day what people plough in an hour nowadays. And then there's the giant steam engines. You know, there's lots of vintage tractors and things. So you don't have to have an interest in ploughing to have a good day.
And just give us a sense of cost. So if somebody was to come down today, how much are they expected to pay to get in?
It's £10 for an adult. Over 11s are £5. Under 11s, we give free of charge because we want them to come and learn about our farming heritage and how it's changed. And you can see in one field just how it has changed in 300 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, such a huge educational background to this, isn't
there? Definitely, definitely.
And if you can't make it today, the competition is on tomorrow. What time do gates open tomorrow?
About 9 o'clock.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Brilliant. Make your way down to the National Ploughing Championships just outside Bishop Leeded. Don't worry if you're not sure where it is, because it is described on our website as a field.
Yes.
But there is clear signage all the way from Taunton. We found it very easy. So make your way down and enjoy a lovely Saturday afternoon in the country.
Yeah, thanks very much. See you and John. Cheers.
Thank you.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Craig and Jason out and about for the World Tour of Taunton.
Yes, of course, it's supported by the Taunton Visitor Centre. Pop into the Market House for more ideas on what to do in and around our county town.
Yes, we've been watching the horse ploughing here at the World Championship Ploughing Competitions. Craig's getting all stressy because he doesn't do walking and talking, do you, Craig?
No. The ground is a little uneven, so I am at fear of falling over.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to say, yeah, we've seen the Shire horses pulling
beautiful.
Those ploughs. Massive.
And
absolutely
massive,
amazing.
Huge, delicate horses.
I could watch them all day.
Yes.
And then, obviously, that was obviously the first type of ploughing, probably, that was introduced. And then you obviously had the steam locomotives.
Yes.
Locomotives?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, basically, you ploughed your field by hand, then horses got involved to do the ploughing for you. That was a massive step forward. And then steam brought in machinery. And now, of course, we have the modern tractors.
Which probably range in the £100,000 mark.
They must be. Absolutely massive. And as we were told earlier, you know, a tractor can plough a field in an hour that would have taken, you know, a horse days to do. But the judging here is right the way through, if Craig can hold the mic, right the way through from basic horse and kind of horse ploughing, right the way through to steam engines, right the way through to huge modern tractor ploughing. And it's really good watching some of the activities. There's loads of stands as well for you to go and browse. Now, if you're not sure how to get here, Craig, how'd you get here?
Head out towards Bishop's Lydiard. From there, you'll see signs to the championships ploughing competitions. And you can't go wrong. There's plenty of cars heading this way. So literally follow the queue.
Yes, £10 per adult. There's concessions for children and the youngsters get in free as well. Loads of families here. Lots of people have brought their dogs with them as well, which is great seeing families out enjoying the beautiful countryside. In autumn, Craig, we're in autumn already.
I know, I can't believe it. The leaves are changing colour. The autumnal feel should be here, but it is actually feeling quite warm.
It is. It's lovely and warm today. Weather is not going to be too bad today, so come out and enjoy it. This is the World Tour. Taunton, stay tuned. We've got more coming up from the National Ploughing Competition very shortly.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM is the World Tour of Taunton with Jason and Craig. We are outside Bishop's Lydiard, and of course the World Tour of Taunton is supported by Taunton Visitor Centre. Follow them online, search Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
And any other social media platform they can find.
Yeah, including Snapchat, Pinterest.
Yeah, any of those. Of course, we are at the National Ploughing Competition and we move to the steam engine side and watching them plough a field. Craig, you need to have you worked out what's happening? You haven't, have you? Okay, so there's a steam engine at each end and they're pulling on a cable, a plough across the field, which is ploughing. When they get to the end and the plough is ready to go, they toot the horn on the steam engine and the other steam engine pulls them in the other direction. So the steam engine itself isn't in the ploughed field, it's on the edge of the field and it's really fantastic. And we're stood next, well, by the side of Rusty. And can I say, he lives up to his name. It's a bit of a rusty old steam engine. As you can hear, it's just stopped.
What I love about this is that you've got the background noise going on, you can hear the people chatting, you can see the work that's been done in the fields. I think it's absolutely amazing. I really wasn't expecting half as much as this when we came down.
No, steam engines are just moving along so they can realign the plough. And we've just gone from the horses that were ploughing incredibly slowly and delicately to now what is considered as quite industrial ploughing. And we're yet to see the big tractors. I'm looking forward to that later on as well. Make your way down. There's loads to see and do here. Loads of trade stands for you to see if you're not interested in the ploughing side. It's just £10 per person to get in. Concessions for children right the way through to zero. And we're just outside of Bishop Lydiard, as Craig said. Follow the yellow signs. Craig, we found them really easy to find, didn't we, in parking?
Yeah, normally you get lost, but I was quite impressed with your driving today, so well done.
I just followed the signs. Follow the signs just outside of Bishop Lydiard. You won't lose your way. The weather this weekend is going to be really good. Craig, are you all right?
Death. I've just become deaf.
Can I just say, Craig just jumped out of his skin. I wish we were on Facebook Live for that one. Okay, so that signifies the plough's got to go the other way, so it's pulling it back, just to be clear. Make your way down to the ploughing competitions here just outside Bishop Lydiard. Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Craig and Jason out and about for the World Tour Taunton, and we are at Bishop Lydiard for the Ploughing Championship. Of course, supported by the award-winning Taunton Visitor Centre. Call into the Market House for more ideas on what to do in and around our county town.
So we've landed in a field, and we are with Mason Kings. With us is Andy. Andy, how are you today? Are you all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good. Good to be here at the National Ploughing Championships. So, yeah.
Have you been to these kind of events before then?
The event was held about 3 or 4 years ago at this same site. And yeah, we came along then and had a good day then. So hoping to repeat it today.
Yeah, I know the footfall already. We spoke to the chairman of this and he said already, you know, the footfall was fantastic. The hope to have a good turnout tomorrow. I think the weather forecast for tomorrow is looking pretty good just before this storm heads over in our direction. So tell us a little bit about the products that you sell.
Yeah, so we sell John Deere and a number of machines to go behind it, so other manufacturers. So John Deere would be one of the leading manufacturers of John Deere tractors around the world. So yeah, in our area we're very blessed with mixed farming. So we've got a lot of arable, doing a lot of ploughing like we are today, but also we've got the livestock and this sort of sector. So we sell a good range of John Deere tractors from the biggest ones they do right down to the smallest ones they do.
Okay, and they would all be used for a multitude of different jobs, as you say, from ploughing to other things. What are the price ranges, can I find out? Because I think some of them, especially the most expensive ones, you could actually buy a house with, yeah?
Yeah, so some of the most expensive tractors we sell would be sort of 150,000, that sort of mark. Your more standard tractor would be around 100,000, really, around the 180 to 200 horsepower range. These tractors, of course, all come with Green Star. So Green Stars are satellite guidance systems. So all the tractors are effectively steering themselves, guiding themselves, turning themselves around on the headlands and this sort of thing. So it's top-end technology. We're not just selling a tractor. We're selling top-end technology with lots of computers and stuff that people really got to learn how to do and sort of thing.
Well, I get the impression, or I have been led to believe, that farmers actually have a really tough job, but apparently it may not be like that.
They spend an awful long time in the tractor cab, so comfort in the tractor cab is a big thing for them. But it's also efficiency. You know, it's a case of, you know, fuel's getting expensive. The price of wheat has not changed in an awful long time now. So it's a case of making the job more efficient. So that's the drive for bigger tractors, more efficient machinery. And stuff like AutoTrack, which is the self-steer, is all about overlaps, reducing overlaps, making it more efficient going up and down the fields. It's about a big efficiency drive in farming right now to sort of be able to produce the food for the country on a cheap enough scale
that's what it works. I think the margins that they always have to work against are so tight.
Yeah, the margins are so variable. You know, wheat prices have changed an awful lot over the last 4 or 5 years. And you know, farmers are under significant pressure to produce the wheat, and they've got to do it as cheap as they can. So investing in technology and in machinery to do the job actually, in the end of the day, makes it cheaper for them to produce the food.
I guess the weather also dictates growth results and the rest of it. So I guess, you know, you're always battling against the unpredictables as well, aren't you, ultimately?
Yeah, this year especially, farmers would have a very difficult time. The harvest was started very early. 4th of July would be when most people would have started. And to be honest, in the last couple of weeks, people have been finishing off. So it'd be one of the longest harvests that I've been involved in my long time in agriculture. And also, I would say drilling is as late as it's been for a long time. So, you know, people getting the seed back in the ground, certainly under pressure now, and yeah, completely driven by weather.
So do you have to have a driver training school to operate these vehicles? Because it sounds like it's just not a steering wheel and a throttle. Yeah. There's quite a lot of technology in there. How do the farmers learn all these skills?
Installation is a massive part of a tractor purchase. You know, we have a complete installation department, and we're calling our farm site department. And we've got two guys working in that department, and their sole job is to go around and install and make sure that the equipment is used to its maximum potential, make sure they all understand how the satellite guidance works, how all the features work on the tractor so they can get the most out of the tractor. So yeah, we've invested heavily in the investment side.
I think a lot of us grew up as children, and you see tractors you can go and play on as a child, and there's a steering wheel and throttle and a gear stick, and that's it. But it sounds almost like a space shuttle kind of thing in there. So that's wonderful. And air conditioning, radios, all those kind of things for them?
Of course. So they can listen to you guys, of course, yeah, day in, day out. But no, the tractor now, you have a control screen, touch screen, and it will all be controlled from there. And I would say there are probably now something around sort of 15 to 20 separate computers driving various aspects of the tractor.
That's
so
incredible.
It's not just a steering wheel with the clutch of the good old days with a bit of straw hanging out your mouth. You know, these guys driving these tractors are highly skilled and, you know, very intelligent people to make it work.
So when you see a tractor on the road and it's holding up all that traffic, actually it's got more technology probably in that tractor than it has in the cars following it.
100%. And I say, you know, the tractors are very safe now on the roads. The braking systems with four-wheel braking all the way around. You know, you see these big tractors, but they can stop an awful lot quicker than the car can behind it. Okay, so there's an awful lot of safety built into the tractors for them going at these slightly higher speeds to not hold the traffic up so much. But yeah, they are very safe, and there's an awful lot of safety features built into the tractors with four-wheel braking and that sort of technology.
So do you have any other products here today in any of the competitions that are running?
No, we don't. No, we're here purely to show what we can do. It seems to be a bit mystical what they're doing up there. We're turning the furrow. So there's an awful lot more involved in that than what we're doing. So we're more involved in the commercial side of ploughing, okay, which is get as much turned over as quick as you can to a certain level, but certainly not the level that the competition guys are doing.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for your time. Hope you have a good, dry weekend, let's put it that way.
Yeah, trying plenty of teas and coffees.
Yes.
cake.
It is a stand to come to for tea and cake, I will
say.
Yeah,
we were offered tea, coffee,
immediately.
Cake. They got, biscuits and everything, you name it, they got
it. We might stop a while. It's Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Craig and Jason out and about at Bishop Lydiard at the National Ploughing Competition. Just follow the yellow signs from Bishop Lydiard.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM is the World Tour of Taunton, supported by Taunton Visitor Centre. Pop into the Market House to find out more ideas on what to do in and around our county town.
Yes, we are here just outside of Bishop Lydiard for the National Ploughing Competition.
It's the 67th National British Ploughing Championships. Now, there's lots of traders, lots of stalls, lots of information, and we've landed at the Woodland Trust. And with me is...
Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. So, are you here tomorrow as well?
Yes, I'm here all weekend.
Okay, so what is it that you do that represents the Woodland Trust?
I'm here to recruit members for the Woodland Trust and also to tell people about our grants. We give jolly good grants all year round to landowners who wish to plant native trees or native hedges. So I can tell them about that. And the Woodland Trust buys ancient woodlands, which are bluebell woods.
Ah, nice. I really love bluebells, especially, you know, during the spring in the woodlands. It's amazing. How did you get involved with this?
Because I like wildlife, basically. And it's my way of doing my bit to help wildlife in this country. And I love trees. You know, I look at trees as I'm driving around. And do you know how much native tree cover there is in this country? Native tree cover.
Okay, so percentage-wise, I would probably say native tree-wise, oh, I don't know, 60%.
No, sorry, wrong. How about you, sir?
Are you talking native as
native,
in...
Native, like ash, oak, beech?
I would say it's a little bit little. I would say 20%.
Wow. You're closer. We've actually only got 12% of native tree cover in this country. And of that, only 3% is ancient woodland, which is our beautiful bluebell woods.
Okay.
This is woodland that's been there forever.
So do you have a piece of land?
I personally do have a small holding, yes.
Okay, nice. Yes.
I'm guessing it's a woody area and you've got beautiful trees.
It is half woody and I have ancient woodland, yes. Yes, which is lovely, bluebell woods. But I'm here to recruit members for the Woodland Trust. So anybody can join the Woodland Trust. All our woods are open. People can visit them for free. There's no car parking charges. Children are welcome. Dogs are welcome. Grown-ups are welcome if they're determined to have fun. So
are you specifically recruiting for this area or nationally?
Whole of the UK.
Whole of the UK.
Yes, we have visitors here from all over the place. Derbyshire, I've spoken to Cornwall. And I'm trying to recruit them to the Woodland Trust.
Yes. So can I ask, are you aware of what Somerset has to offer in terms of the woodland spaces?
We have beautiful woodland in Somerset, yes. Anybody can just Google up where woodland is on our website, put the postcode in and everybody's woodland will come up. We have beautiful places like Henlade Wood near Taunton, which is ancient woodland. It's also perhaps going to be controversial soon because there's a road scheme planned for going through it, which I expect you will cover one day.
Yes, I expect so. Being community radio, there's not much we don't, to be no. honest.
Now, how do farmers play an important part in your Woodland Trust? Because obviously we are here, most farming communities are here today. What are you trying to encourage them to do?
We try to encourage farmers to plant native trees. So, and hedges. A lot of farmers putting hedges back because years ago they were encouraged to take their hedges out. This farm, for instance, this beautiful farm here, has put back a lot of hedges. It's also got lots of mature trees. There's beautiful mature oak trees behind us. I've spoken to the owners and the amazing thing is that these fields have got worms in them, which shows it's very healthy soil. A lot of farms no longer have worms.
Yeah, well, we did speak to the chairman. We also asked about the quality of the soil here and he said it was exceptional. Yeah, really, exceptional. Really good quality.
So this is the Coles farm. So they grow veg, I believe.
Okay.
So if anybody wants more details on the Woodland Trust and they're not coming today, how can they access some information?
The Woodland Trust website, which is woodlandtrust.org.uk.
Brilliant.
And all the information is on there. Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much for your
time. Thank you so much.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It's Craig and Jason out and about for the World Tour Taunton, of course supported by the award-winning Taunton Visitor Centre. Call into the Market House for more ideas on what to do in and around the county town. Craig, we are at...
We're at the... I don't know if it's an alpaca stand. I'm not sure, really. with me is Steve Baker. Steve, are these your animals?
They are, yes. Yep.
So you've got three here, why have you brought them to the World Champion Ploughing Competition?
Well, we brought them here today, really, to sell them. These are three boys, and they're about 18 months old, and we don't mix males and females in the herd. We bring in stud males, and neither of these three are really good enough to be a stud male. And so we need to sell the boys. We've not got enough land to keep boys and girls separately, really.
Okay. So what do you look for in a good stud then? I mean, because at this age, are they fully grown? Are they fully developed? I mean...
No, these aren't fully grown yet. They're probably about 80% fully grown. Fully grown after about 2 years. Okay. With a stud male, you need a consistency of colour, very fine fleece, and a good bone structure. These actually they're good conformation wise, but their fleeces aren't top notch.
Okay.
Which is a real important thing about alpacas.
Okay. Now, with history and things that I've learned as well, sometimes food can produce good quality fur. So depending on their diet, so that wouldn't obviously affect the alpacas. The quality of the food wouldn't increase the quality of their coat.
It can do, and there are some people who think that it's all about food. There was a guy, we went to a lecture last year actually, he was talking about food being the major predictor of a good fleece. But there's other people who believe that it's not really the food, it's about genetics and it's about parasite control and that type of thing. But there are, you know, there's a lot of people who are thinking that food is the main component in producing good fibre, which is why we have alpacas, it's for the fibre.
Right. Okay. Now, one of the things I've learned today is that alpacas apparently make excellent guards for sheep.
That's right.
Why is that?
Well, they don't like foxes.
Okay.
And alpacas have got fantastic eyesight, which is around about five times what a human's is, with much larger eyeballs to sort of bring in additional light. So they can see first of all, they can see the foxes coming. And then they stare at them, and all the alpacas in the field will stare at them because they'll let them know. And they'll know if they're staring, everything, you know, all the alpacas look in the same direction.
Right.
So the fox is unlikely even to come in the paddock where the alpacas are. But if they do, the alpacas will just walk towards them and then chase them. And I was speaking to somebody down at the Devon County show who said that their alpacas killed a fox which they cornered in the field.
Wow.
They stamp on them. They rear up on their hind legs and stamp down. But usually it doesn't come to that. We've never had a fox in our paddocks, but I'd like to see what would happen, but it's never happened.
Okay, so like sheep, alpacas are sheared.
Once a year.
So in terms of cost comparison between maybe a sheep coat and an alpaca coat, what is the difference?
What, price-wise?
Yeah, in terms of quality and cost.
Well, a good fleece from an alpaca, the blanket, which is the top bit, the finest, if it's a really good quality fleece, you might get, say, £12.50 to £15 per kilogram. The whole of a sheep's fleece, you might get a pound.
Wow.
A whole lot.
Wow.
It varies. And the big difference is the fineness of the yarn, or fineness of the hair, really, on an alpaca, which is can be below 20 microns. That's a millionth of a metre. Hair is about 120 micron on a human. A good sheep's fleece might be about 35, 30. But alpacas can be well below 20. And we had some last year that were below 18, which we had made into yarn. So it's about the fineness. Below 25 microns, it doesn't prickle.
Okay.
But that's why sheep's fleece is all itchy when you've got it on.
Yeah, I do find that. I do have, you know, if I get hot, I start to find myself itching.
Yeah, but you won't with alpaca fleece. But
yeah. Okay, so you're here to sell them, you say. Mm. So how much would one of those cost me today?
Well, we wouldn't sell one unless it was into another herd, but we'd sell three for £2,000.
Wow. Wow.
But females can cost more, a lot more.
Of course, because you'd be able to breed from them.
Yes, that's right.
For example. Yeah. Okay. Fabulous. Well, Steve, thank you very much for your time.
That's right. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Good Take luck. Care.
Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM presents the World Tour of Taunton.